Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having reports of some breaking news into the WHUR newsroom. A driver has been taken into custody after his vehicle crashed into a gate at the White House. The arrest was confirmed by Anthony Guglielmi, a spokesperson for the Secret Service. He said the crash happened on the east side of the White House complex by Pennsylvania Avenue and 15th Street. That driver is in custody, and the Secret Service is investigating the matter. Again, a vehicle crashing into a White House gate around 6 o'clock this evening. That driver is in custody. Now back to the Insight segment. This is the first full work week of 2024. Like most places of business or government, you can expect your managers to schedule meetings that are designed to set the tone for the new year. Well, with that in mind, is it time to reset how meetings are conducted? In other words, can we plan meetings that don't have to last for hours? And perhaps we can have meetings that are constructive? Well, the short answer is yes. And joining me to talk about this are attorney and career strategist Tanya Sloans and Dr. Vanessa Weaver, career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies. And you, the listener, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Dr. Vanessa, good to talk to you again. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Absolutely. Tanya, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate your time as well.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay. But meetings are not always. You like that? That was kind of slick, wasn't it? Yes. Meetings are not a pleasure at all. I mean, certainly they are important, and I'll start with you, Dr. Vanessa, why is it that meetings are just the bane of the existence of workers, of government employees, the deacon board, whatever?
Well, Harold, meetings, when they become the pain point of us, is because they're often not planned well. They don't have a purpose. They go on and on. Sometimes you have them because it's a habit, and people are not clear about the outcome, and a lot of times people don't feel included in the meetings. So there are a lot of reasons that make meetings ineffective and really a source of angst for employees. And I've been on both ends. I mean, I've been a part having to attend some poor meetings, and guess what? I've led some myself. Mm. So I can see some personal experience on this.
What do you think about that, Tanya? I mean, about, why are meetings so bad? What do you think really makes up a reason or reasons for a bad meeting?
Well, the reality is that the workplace is filled with meetings just for the sake of meeting. There nowadays is less emphasis on what's happening at the meeting and more emphasis on whether or not a meeting is actually taking place. Meetings can give a false sense of progress and accomplishment as opposed to being really focused on productivity that comes from meetings.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, Dr. Vanessa, productivity, I can speak for myself. I know a long, long time ago, I remember when I worked for state government, and I think I had one of the worst meeting experiences ever. A meeting that started at 8:30 in the morning and did not end until 5 o'clock. What on earth? And I will tell you that I don't believe that I actually knew less by 5 o'clock than I knew when I woke up that morning, because it went on all day. And I think everyone had to have input, but there were no marching orders at the end. You know, why do you believe that meetings that end up being unproductive still happen?
Well, let me ask you, was it planned to go from all day to 5 p.m., or did it just...
No, that was the plan. It was an all-day meeting.
Yeah, those meetings are often very difficult because they are so long. And meetings that long often don't have breaks included. They don't have the kind of structure you need. That they need to be led by a person who knows how to facilitate the meeting and determine at what points in the meeting should you have certain outcomes achieved. So if it's not well structured, not designed, those 9-to-5 meetings can just feel like, oh, my goodness, a major headache beyond repair.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, you know, we design these meetings because we think we need that much time, and we don't often plan on how to be more efficient with those meetings to identify what is the outcome that we want to have by certain segments in the meeting, to share what those outcomes are. Those kind of meetings need a structured agenda. So, you know, the participants know what they're supposed to cover, say, from 9 to 11. And then by 11, there should be a review of what's been discussed and what has been decided on. And oftentimes, they're not facilitated that way. And so they just go on and on and on without people getting clear about what has been the success or the outcome of the meeting. And many times, people don't feel like they've had a chance to actively participate. So they are painful.
Yeah.
I really recommend meetings not to be 9 to 5. Was this a virtual meeting?
No, this was a pre-pandemic meeting. A pre-pandemic, good old-fashioned sit at a long table with a whole bunch of people sitting around. Yes, that's what I said. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about meetings, whether they are work meetings, could be church meetings, could be, you know, office meetings, virtual meetings, in-person meetings. Why are they so bad? And what can be done to make them better? You were about to say something, Dr. Vanessa.
Yes. Did the facilitator offer an opportunity for people to ask how their experience with the meeting was?
I can't remember. My eyes glazed over at that point.
Oh, I see.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What is the danger, you know, Tanya, of back-to-back meetings in an organization?
Oh, wow. That is very dangerous, and somehow it happens all the time. But the danger of having back-to-back meetings really is disengagement. If someone has back-to-back meetings, that usually means that they have to make a mental shift from one subject to the next very quickly. And if they're back-to-back meetings, it's not necessarily a time to reflect and refuel. So the back-to-back meetings will lead to a lesser opportunity for the person to engage fully, to participate fully, and really walk away with meaningful experience from the meeting.
Mm-hmm. What about
a fatigue factor? You know, it's a burnout factor.
Yeah, and you spoke earlier, Dr. Vanessa, about long meetings. But practically speaking, how would you describe a short meeting? 30 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes? I guess it would really kind of depend. But is it possible to have a critical meeting that maybe decides, you know, where a company is going in the beginning of the year and have it short? Or is it just possible later on in the year when you have these monthly meetings or weekly meetings that shouldn't they just be short and to the point?
Well, it depends on the objectives of the meeting. Sometimes when you want to have a lot of engagement or you want to include brainstorming, that might not be the formula to have a short meeting. So it really depends on what the objective of the meeting is, what the outcome and what the intents are for the outcomes, and how you, you know, how you set expectations on the front end for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really important because I tell you, some of the, you know, for example, even for me, we had used to have staff meetings, and we had them twice a week. In this virtual world, meetings are almost more important because that's the way that you have people, you know, you connect people, people feel connected. So there's a tendency to want to do more of them so you can see people more, connect with people more, all of that kind of thing. But I found that in my staff meetings, I could see my members, my employees just looking disengaged and just kind of distracted. And so I stopped one of the meetings and I asked for feedback. Like, and you know, I shared with what I saw, I shared with what I was picking up. And guess what? They gave me an earful. And I don't know that I really felt good about it. I kind of got into my feelings a little bit about it. But I really appreciated the feedback because it really led us to structuring those meetings very, very differently. And also having people, various members of my staff play different roles in the meeting. And it has made a world of a difference. So what was painful, the feedback that I asked for and got an earful of, turned out to really be really a lifesaver for us.
What did they say? Give me an example of something that had you clutching your pearls and surprised you.
Well, what, of course, first thing they said, they didn't feel like we needed the meeting twice a week. So that was one part of the feedback. And then the feedback that I got was that I allow people to just go on and on and repeat themselves versus being more diplomatic and closing out that part of the conversation when the resolution had been made.
Mm.
And then they mentioned that other members in the on our staff weren't prepared for their part in the meeting, and so that it made some of the members feel like they didn't take it very seriously.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really some pretty pointed feedback, which really did, really when I thought about it, made me feel really good because my team members trusted me enough and their colleagues enough to just put it out there on the table. But it also meant that we had to do something with that feedback. But that was some of the feedback. It went on and on and on, restating the same points over and over again. I didn't cut it off when I needed to. Other members weren't prepared, so that's some of the feedback you got.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. D calling from Maryland. Quickly, what's on your mind? D, are you there? D, give me a call back if you can. I need to take a break in just a bit, but lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about meetings. These could be meetings on your job. It could be church meetings, because I know we do have a lot of deacons and deaconess and all those other folks that, you know, have to have meetings with, you know, your church leadership. Hey, you may even need to have a family meeting every now and then. What about meetings in person versus virtual meetings? How do you make them better? How do you make them more productive? How does that work? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That comes your way in just a bit. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. D and Ken, both of you calling from Maryland, will be talking to you next. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about meetings, work meetings, church meetings, all kinds of meetings. How do you make them less frequent? How do you make them shorter? How do you make them more productive? My guests are attorney and career strategist Tanya Sloans and Dr. Vanessa Weaver, career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to the phones, Tanya, you were going to say something right before the break.
Yes. I think the key to focusing on having productive meetings is to think about the agenda ahead of time. Whether the meeting is long or short, it can be productive, but you've got to think strategically about the agenda, what the goals are, and what you intend to accomplish with the meeting. If you can do that from the very beginning, then the chances of you having more productivity and more engagement is much higher.
But how do you know if the staff, let's say at work, is burnt out by meetings? I mean, there's got to be something, you know, such as meeting overload. I will say, in the news business, in my entire career, because of the nature of the work, we don't have time for meetings. The meetings are short. They are to the point. It is what we're doing today, whether it was radio, whether it was television. We did not have time. Even the upper management of the news department, large news departments, they didn't spend a lot of time in meetings.
Yes. Well, one way when you can tell whether or not you're having too many meetings is gauge the level of participation. If you have to pull teeth in order to get people to contribute to the meeting, then that's an indicator that there's probably not a lot of necessity for the meeting if people don't have things to contribute. As well, if the content of the meeting is continual repetition, people saying the same thing over and over again, or things being said week after week after week, another clear indication that you don't need as many meetings as you're having.
Or maybe I would imagine, you know, Dr. Vanessa, if you may have a meeting of, I don't know, 10 people, and this is the meeting that you have every week or twice a week or several times a month, if you don't get a lot of input, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that some people they're not contributing because they're just trying to make sure this rascal runs out. They're running the clock out so that they can leave the room or turn off their computer.
Yeah, that's true. One technique that I found is to, at the beginning of the meeting, is to ask each participant there what would make that meeting time well spent for them. Ooh. You know, what would make it time well spent? What's the desired outcome that they're looking for? And then halfway through the meeting, go back and say, well, which of these outcomes have we met? Let's do a check against those. And you can literally check against those outcomes. And if you can see how you're moving and progressing against the meeting, and then you can structure the rest of the meeting so it really addresses those anticipated outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, or I have an agreement that maybe we can't meet this outcome. Can we agree to table this to the next meeting or whatever?
So here is something that I'd like for you to comment on, Dr. Vanessa, because you've worked in a management capacity during the course of your career, and I felt this, and I've heard this over the decades of my career, when managers have a meeting, but they say, we're going to have a meeting, but I can't tell you. During the meeting, we've got some things coming, but I can't tell you. The first thing that I think about, well, why? So you had a meeting to tell us that you can't tell us. What is that about? And do you think that is a good practice?
No, I don't think it's a good practice. I was going to say, I think it's ill-conceived to tell people you're going to have a meeting, but you can't tell people why you're going to have the meeting. It increases a lot of anxiety. A lot of expectations, a lot of fears. And so people come into the meeting feeling already stressed out. They might think it's going to be a meeting to downsize the organization or something. So I think that's ill-advised to say we're going to have a meeting, but I can't tell you what it's about.
Yeah. Or during the meeting say that something is coming, but I can't tell you.
Well, sometimes managers may not want to present the topic of the meeting beforehand to present what I know you've heard of as called before, the meeting before the meeting. Perhaps managers...
Explain that.
The meeting before the meeting is when participants in the meeting get together and discuss the topic amongst themselves. And oftentimes in that discussion of the topic, there are conclusions made, there are alliances developed, and positions that are adopted by segments of the participants. So that when the meeting actually happens, the participants come to the meeting with an agenda to have a particular thing happen. It's less likely that that manager can get raw feedback from the individuals if they've discussed the topic ahead of time. So sometimes it's just that the manager actually really wants raw feedback from the participants and nothing more.
Let me go to the phone lines.
I think in that situation, however, you could clarify that as part of the meeting. You can say we're going to have a meeting and it's really predicated on an earlier meeting we had, which certain decisions got made or certain recommendations got made, and we want to share those with you today.
That
so
sounds like
a way of demystifying or taking some of the anxiety out of that meeting.
Yeah, my anxiety is already rising just hearing you describe that. That doesn't sound like fun at all. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dee, calling from Maryland. Are you still there?
I am here. Thank you.
Sure.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, how are you? Go ahead, right ahead.
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. Enjoying the conversation so much because, in my career, I've had the opportunity to become a certified project manager and a certified scrum master and facilitating meetings all the time. And one of the things I have seen to be most productive is treat a lot of these instances or different meetings, whatever the purposes for them are, as a project. And when you do that, you kind of go into creating a communications plan ahead of time and then actually having a meeting cadence where, they make sense and they're approached from a strategic standpoint. That's, I find, to be super important to keep these meetings where they make sense. They're not drawn out, and you have better engagement. And also to note that they should not be static. If you do create meeting cadence, it should never be a static thing. It should be where it can be scalable. As things change, as things evolve, you can change the cadences of these meetings. Another thing I wanted to point out that I've heard a lot on this segment is facilitation. Strategic facilitation is super important. That's something I find necessary typically when, especially if you have, like I heard, this all-day meeting for 8 hours, if you have a long, drawn-out meeting, having an unbiased facilitator helps greatly because that person can, kind of navigate and guide the participants to be engaged, to be interactive, and to really move the agenda forward.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Dee, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. Dr. Vanessa, I can tell you were about to say something.
I was, but she made the point, really. But there was one point that you made, is that when you have standard meetings, I mean, it is really okay to cancel a meeting when there's nothing that you need to meet about. I think sometimes managers are uncomfortable saying that we're going to cancel today's meeting because there's really not any new content that we need to discuss or review today. And I think that that is more than appropriate and appreciated when that happens.
Tanya, would you agree with that?
I actually thought Dee made an excellent point of treating it like a project, because what that suggests is that there needs to be significant and strategic planning that goes into setting an agenda for the meeting. You don't just show up to the meeting with a topic in mind, but you think about specific goals, specific actions that needed to be taken, and you think more strategically about what outcomes need to happen at the meeting. And that kind of planning really prevents there from being disengagement and productivity that's lacking from the meeting itself.
Speaking of productivity, and let us assume, for the sake of argument, that the workers, the members of the team, the staff, are doing their jobs. These are not slackers. These are not lazy people. I would say that if I'm working and I have to stop working for a meeting and then the boss cancels the meeting, the first thing that I think, and I would imagine the other staff would think, oh, well, that means I don't have to worry about a meeting because now I can go back to being efficient. And I would also say, anecdotally speaking, that I have, you know, observed, and maybe this is because those meetings have been really long. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes they just get in the way.
Yes. Well, you know, the Harvard Business Review presented research that says that 92% of employees view meetings as being costly and unproductive. Mm. And what that means to me is that most employees see meetings as something that takes away from their ability to actually do their jobs. It is not seen as a space and time where work is actually achieved, but more of a break from it, and in some of the most severe cases, a distraction from their ability to actually do their work. So a lot of times when meetings are canceled, you'll hear employees breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Great. I don't have to attend that meeting. I have more time to actually do the work that I have to report on next week, or I actually have time to do the work that I need to report on at XYZ interval. But oftentimes it's just unfortunate that meetings have just developed this bad reputation of not being something that adds to the overall productivity of an employee.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Ken calling from Upper Marlboro. Ken, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Ken, are you there? Ken, give me a call back. Let me go to Gregory calling from Sacramento, California. Gregory, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. Good
sure.
evening. Question or comment that I have is I'm a manager in retail. And recently I've had a new store manager come in and take over the store that I work at. She did not score high enough on her first inspection, if you will. So her answer to that was mandatory meeting Sunday at 7 o'clock to find, you know, we can find ways to fix the problem in the store. So what I did was I shared with her, so I understand your concern about your score, but to schedule a mandatory meeting for the very next day for your managers is not going to be feasible. You're not going to get good feedback. You need to schedule a meeting and give people an opportunity to show up for that meeting. Once we had that meeting, the problem I've always had with having staff meetings, if you will, or manager meetings, is that when given an opportunity to speak your mind, there's always crickets in the room because people are afraid to speak their minds because they're afraid that they're going to have some kind of retribution against them.
I think that...
And I'm wondering if your guest can comment on that.
And I'll start with Tanya about that, and I want Dr. Vanessa to kind of chime in also because she kind of touched on that, but I think we really do need to drill down about that because... I would say, Tanya, that the thing that Gregory is speaking about is culture. And depending on the culture of the workplace or wherever these meetings are being held, it could be frat meeting. You know, it could be sorority meeting. But if the culture is not welcoming, then you very well may not want to speak out, even if the person who was leading the meeting says it's okay to do so.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we really need to have a little more information on what the culture of this retail establishment is before we can assess whether or not it's actually a good idea to have staff meetings on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. One thought is that perhaps, you know, the meeting was established so quickly without giving a lot of leeway is to communicate with the employees that there is a problem, that we are failing our inspection, we're not scoring high enough, and we need to make some immediate changes so that we can see progress. If these meetings are going to be held on a weekly basis every Sunday, then perhaps the manager's intent was to use Sunday as a reoccurring deadline to let the retail employees know that, hey, progress needs to be made periodically and incrementally. And if at no other point in time, every Sunday, there needs to be improvement moving towards the next inspection.
Dr. Vanessa?
Well, first of all, I wanted to commend, I think it was Gregory was his name, for providing his new manager that kind of feedback so quickly and clearly. I mean, a lot of times that doesn't happen. And so I wanted to thank him for that and also helping her identify some different options around how to schedule that meeting in such a way that individuals can feel they have had a chance to schedule it and be prepared for that. So he not only gave her feedback, but he helped her work through some options for that. And I thought that was just tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
So that's one. The second thing is around the culture. If in fact your culture or the relationship with between that supervisor and the people that report to them isn't one where that supervisor asks for feedback and there's an openness and a willingness to give in a lot of different situations, I think it would be a little unrealistic to expect that when you ask for feedback about the meeting, and they're going to give it to you, because that hasn't been the tone or quality of the interactions that person has had. So I do think it is a reflection of the culture and the way that manager has interacted with their people before. You don't start asking for feedback about a meeting if, in fact, it hasn't been part of the dynamic that you've established with your people all along.
If you've never asked for feedback before, and then all of a sudden you start asking for that, I would imagine that the rank and file would be extremely suspicious as to why these questions are now being asked of them when they were never asked before. Gregory, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let us talk about what might be some best practices, Dr. Vanessa, or changing meetings, what organizations, businesses should do. If you are looking to improve how you meet with your people in 2024, if you've had bad meetings, unproductive meetings, long meetings, rambling meetings in past years, what should you first look at?
Well, I think Tanya had some great suggestions. One, she said you should set the agenda and then organize the meeting around the agenda. And I think that's extremely important, whether that meeting is a 20-minute meeting or whether that meeting is an all-day meeting. And secondly, the managers, but it's not always managers who have meetings, employees have meetings. I think they have to make a decision that we really want to have a good, we really want to have 2024 have good meetings. And that means that we're going to have them, they're going to be planned, they're going to be inclusive, because we're going to ask people in the meetings for their opinions and their perspectives. You know, we're going to build in time to hear that, and people are going to understand why we're having that meeting and the desired outcome. So that's one. And then meet only when there's a purpose to meet versus just, like I told you, in my company, we were meeting twice a week for staff meetings, when we really only need to have them once a week. So, you know, meet with a purpose. And in the article that we read, which I thought was an excellent suggestion, is to start and end the meetings on time. I mean, nothing to me is as irritating as when you have a meeting scheduled at 10 o'clock, but you wait till 10:15 because everybody hasn't shown up. So I think to start that meeting and end it on time, if you can't end it on time, ask people, can you have some additional, can you borrow some time for that meeting? And then this inclusivity, I think, is really important because in most organizations, there are people that are very extroverted and some that are very introverted. And I think making sure that as the leader and the facilitator, that you're drawing out people's perspectives, asking their input, points of view is extremely important.
Tanya?
Sure. Yeah. There are a number of things that you can do to be more effective with your meeting times. If an organization is even considering modifying the way in which they meet, the first question they probably should ask themselves is, can they reduce the number of meetings that they have? Because if you think there's a need to modify it, there's probably an indication that there is some wasted time and some ineffectiveness. So I would start with asking, is there a way to reduce the number of meetings that are held? And then secondly, try and modify the participant number to the smallest number of individuals that actually need to be in attendance. Sometimes we just invite entire departments or entire divisions when in actuality, perhaps only team leads need to attend the meeting, and then the information can be funneled down through email or some other method. I would say as well, when meetings are had, you need to set a time limit and then you need to stick with it no matter what. If you do that, it forces you to plan in advance and it forces you to think about what can be accomplished in that set amount of time. If you find that you get to the end of that point in time and there's so much more to be discussed, then you know you need to do a little bit better planning on the next go round. And then finally, think about the fact that nowadays most meeting invites, whether the meeting's being held in person or virtually, there's usually an electronic invite that's sent out. Give participants the option to accept or decline the invitation. Even if there are declines, ask for the decline to be accompanied by an explanation. That will give you insight as to whether or not the audience views the meeting as necessary and an effective use of their time.
I have so many questions and comments. Oh my goodness, my head is about to explode.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, indeed. So one of the things that I have found in attending meetings, most of these have been, you know, virtual meetings, when the manager sets aside, let's say they set aside an hour,
mm-hmm.
and the meeting ends early. That, to me, suggests, true or not, and this is about impressions. If you believe that the meeting is going to last an hour, but the boss and the staff, you get through it all in 45 minutes, that suggests, accurately or not, that we are productive, that we are efficient, that we are under-promising and over-producing, I think, or something like that.
Over-delivering.
Thank you, and over-delivering. You know, and I think that's a really good feeling. When, and then the next month, you have a meeting, well, you know, last week or last month, we set aside an hour, and I guess we really didn't need it, so we're going to set aside 30 minutes, and you drop that rascal at 28 minutes. You know, I agree, you know, Dr. Vanessa, particularly for, you know, large staff meetings, because understand, you know, stuff happens, but you know, when you have, for example, video meetings or what have you, and everybody's kind of sitting around waiting for it to start, you know, that I think that can be really kind of problematic when that happens, you know, when that happens frequently. But now here's my other thing, and I'll ask both of you, but I'll start with you, Dr. Vanessa. How do you get people in video meetings to turn their cameras on?
Well,
and it may seem like a small thing, but I think it's important.
Well, you know, it best speaks to the culture and the expectations that you set. Some organizations, they're okay with people being off camera. And other organizations or other managers really want people to be on camera. So I think you have to be clear, set clear expectations around how you want to handle your meeting. Now, for me personally, I like people to be on camera when we're meeting, particularly in the virtual setting. But I tell you, I have millennials, and many of them ask, well, why do we need to be on camera? You know, or because sometimes they're in their PJs, so they're dressed in ways that they don't want to be seen like that on camera. And so we've had some discussions about this.
Tell me about those discussions.
I mean, it's really been pointed in the sense of, like I said, many of my millennials felt like there shouldn't be an expectation as long as they're actively participating in the meeting. And I could tell the older folks felt like we should be on camera. Mm-hmm. And so what we had to do, what we did as a team, is to talk that out and then made a decision on how we wanted to show up in our meeting. And that decision was, you want to hear what the decision was?
Yes, Carol? Please. I'm really curious.
The decision is that we would be on camera unless there was a reason that you wouldn't be. Mm. And that was after a lot of debate.
Wow. The only other resolution that I could see for that could maybe work for everyone if everyone's working from home is if a millennial or whoever said, you know, well, I'm in my PJs, then everybody should be in their PJs.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. Now you're telling on yourself, Dr. Vanessa. But still.
Not that in some virtual meetings I haven't been in my PJs. I won't say that's not true. But not to get too much
down into the weeds. But yes, I mean during the pandemic there were times when we had, you know, video meetings. I wasn't in my PJs, but I was in a T-shirt, and okay, but you're in a T-shirt. I see you. Right. I see you from the neck up. Turn the camera on. Is it that hard? But again, as you said, this is an issue about culture, and expectations.
Right, and what's important?
If
it's more important for me to see you versus, you know, not seeing you in your T-shirt, then, you know, seeing you is more important. So maybe it's okay that you're in your T-shirt.
Yeah,
I think the key is expectations. A lot of times when people don't show up on camera, it's because they haven't been told that they need to show up on camera. So I would find it hard to believe if someone was told that the requirement for this meeting is that you show up on camera, that people would not turn their cameras on. But sometimes when the meeting is set, the invitation is sent, and nothing is said about whether or not cameras need to be on or off, that's when you get a lot of participants who won't turn their camera on. So something as simple as saying, please turn your camera on in attendance of this meeting.
And probably in some cases, some of the participants may be wearing bonnets, which may be problematic in and of itself. But certainly that is yet another discussion. So turn your camera on. Don't wear a bonnet. Put on a T-shirt and it's just fine. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Vanessa Weaver and Attorney Tanya Sloan. Thank you so much. We will see how our meetings go here. Where hopefully we've been able to help some other folks who are listening have better, more productive, more efficient meetings so that the year will go better on the job or at church or wherever your meetings are. Thank you, ladies, so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Harold. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having this topic. It's important.
It is. Indeed, it is. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, January 8th, 2024. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.